I believe we just had James Taylor singing for us. Good job, Richard. Thank you. All right, Children's Church is dismissed at this time. And if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 as we continue to look at the story of creation. For those of you that are visiting with us, we have been spending about a month now looking at the story of creation. We first of all looked at ways to support Christ being our Creator. And now we are looking at just what I'm simply calling from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, the story of creation. In these verses, we've already looked at two points. The first point we looked at and stated and preached was that the story of creation is a story of sovereignty. Very clearly, verse 15 tells us that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So it lets us know that the Creator of heaven and earth is not some being who's lower on the scale of things, not some person who is on our same level, but the very God of gods. Jesus Christ is the exact image of the invisible God, meaning that He is co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The Creator of heaven and earth is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord, who is God. And without that fact, we wouldn't have creation. The second point we looked at was that the story of creation is not only a story about sovereignty, it's a story about superiority and supremacy. And that's found in the second statement of verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. And what we said was last week is that firstborn is not a reference to first created. Jesus Christ is not a created being like the rest of us and like everything else that's been created. When it says firstborn, it is a reference to the fact that the firstborn son was always considered supreme and superior and was therefore given the inheritance over all the other children first. And so Jesus Christ was not the first created. All firstborn simply means is that He is superior and supreme over all creation. He holds the place of superiority and the place of supremacy. As a matter of fact, we found out that the firstborn son, on many occasions in the Bible, the one who was called the firstborn was not actually the one who was born first. As in the case of Esau and Jacob. Jacob was born second, yet he received the firstborn supremacy place by Almighty God. And so we know that creation has happened because the Creator is Jesus Christ, and He's sovereign, and He's supreme, and He's superior. Hallelujah. Now we want to move and look at the next aspect of the story of creation. Let me begin reading with verse 15, and I'll read through verse 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Amen. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And all of God's people said, amen. What a powerful, powerful set of verses. It is a very concise set of verses that teach us the story of creation. And it all starts with the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, who is superior and supreme. But today we want to look at the third aspect of the story of creation. The story of creation is not only about sovereignty. The story of creation is not only about superiority and supremacy. But the story of creation is also about the total sum. It is also about the total sum. You know, I like to alliterate, so my last words are all ending or began with the word S. And so here, it is about the total sum. Now, what I'm referring to, it is found in the small three-letter word that we find in verse 16, and it is that word, all. Look at what the Bible says there again in verse 16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. And here it is again. All things were created by him and for him. Today I want you to understand that what we need to be reminded about the story of creation is that the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, who is supreme and superior, is also the one who created it all. All is such a small word to be such a big word. But that's exactly what it is. A small word that is a big word. And what it says over and over in these verses and in many other places in the Word of God is that Jesus Christ created the total sum of all of creation. There's nothing that exists that Jesus Christ did not create. Listen to what the Scripture teaches us in many other places. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verses 1 through 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is the creator, not of some things, not of partial things, but the total sum was created completely by the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. He made it all. Look at verse 10 of that same chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse 10 says, he was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Then listen to the testimony of Acts chapter 17, which we've already looked at in the past month and a half. Acts 17 and verses 24 through 26, it says, the God who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he had determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. The testimony of Scripture is very thorough on this point, that Jesus Christ is the creator of the total sum. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. And then let me give you one more. Out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Listen, folks. You and I need to understand that we've been made to believe either that nothing came from God, but everything evolved, it was created by mere chance, or that God started some of the process, he created some of the things, but not all the things, and the rest of the things came about on their own. You need to understand. You need to know clearly. You need to hear from this preacher. You need to hear from the Word of God. You need to hear from those Christians, scientists who are Christians, who show very clearly that the Scripture teaches only one thing, and that is that all things were created by Jesus Christ. The total sum of creation comes from the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Through whom he made the universe. Aren't you glad to understand today that everything that is and everything that exists and everything that has been and everything that will be, aren't you glad to know that Jesus Christ is the one who created it all? Do you know why that's so important? If he created it all, then that means it's all under his control. If he created it all, then that means he knows everything about it all. If he created it all, that means that you and I do not have to live our life in concern about what's going to happen, about what's going to take place. We don't have to live our life in fear that it's all out of control, because what we need to understand that Jesus Christ created it all. He knows about it all. There's nothing new to him. He is well aware what's taking place, and he knows how to fix it all. And bless God, because he's the creator of it all, he will one day fix it all. Amen and hallelujah. God's people are to say what? Amen. Now let me just share with you an aspect about that creation. You see, it's important that we understand those first two points that we preached over the last couple of weeks, because today's message could not have happened unless Jesus Christ was sovereign, and unless Jesus Christ was superior, and unless Jesus Christ was supreme. We could not have the creation that we have apart from the fact of who he is. Our creation is so vast. It's so amazing. It's so incomprehensible that the only way that it could have been made was for someone to be sovereign, superior, and supreme to be able to make it. Listen to what we know. These are facts. And I just share it with you the way John MacArthur wrote it. It's just the sheer size of the universe required a sovereign God to be able to make it. By studying creation, one can gain a glimpse of the power and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Creator, Dr. MacArthur says. The sheer size of the universe is staggering. The sun, for example, has a diameter of 864 1,000 miles, 100 times that of the earth. And listen to this. We know that it could hold 1.3 million planets the size of the earth inside of it. That's how large our sun is. But listen, it gets better. The star Betelgeuse, however, has a diameter of 100 million miles, which is larger than the Earth's orbit around the sun. It takes sunlight traveling at 186,000 miles per second, about 8.5 minutes to get from the sun to Earth. Yet that same light would take more than 4 years to reach the nearest star, traveling 186,000 miles per second. Some 24 million miles from the Earth is the nearest star. And it would take 4 years for light to reach it, traveling at 186,000 miles per second. That's the nearest star. That's just mind-boggling. Listen. The galaxy to which our sun belongs, the Milky Way, contains hundreds of billions of stars, and astronomers estimate that there are millions or even billions of galaxies. What they can see leads them to estimate, now listen, that the number of stars in the universe are at 10 to the power of 25. You want to know how many that is? That is roughly the number of grains of sand that exist on this earth. Roughly the number of grains of sand on all the world's beaches. Now, do you understand why Jesus Christ had to be sovereign and superior and supreme to be able to create a universe so vast? It would take someone who's not just an ordinary person, and also understand something. It is so vast, and yet you and I live on the one planet that we know of for sure, where only life can be sustained, and it is at such a precise measure and precise a distance to the sun and precise distance to everything, and it does everything so perfectly so that you and I can live and move and breathe and go about with our lives on the earth. The precision of our ability to live on this earth is nothing more than the hand of Almighty God making it that way, or it would never be. An accident could not cause this world to be it just exactly in the position that it needs to be in so that you and I can survive and live. That could only happen by a mind that was smart enough to make it happen. And the only mind smart enough to make that happen is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign God of all the universe. Amen and hallelujah. You and I need to understand He is the Creator of the total sum. Is it no wonder? Take your Bibles and go to with me for a second to the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 19. You all know this, but is it any wonder that the psalmist gives us these beautiful words in Psalms 19? And if I can find it here, we got it. Here we go. Listen to what the Word of God says in Psalms 19. Verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Let me just share with you, brothers and sisters, and listen to that next phrase. In the heavens he pitched a tent for the sun. And you could go on and on. And let me just share with you that the psalmist understood that all you got to do is look to the heavens and understand that those heavens speak loudly of a creator, and that creator had to be sovereign because the skies and the heavens and the earth are so amazing that it could not have happened by chance. It could not have happened by an accident. It could not have happened by everything just happenstance, bumping into one another at the right time, and over millions and billions of years, finally, poof, out comes what you and I have. It took a sovereign God to do it. And let me take you also to the New Testament book of Romans and remind you that because the earth and because the scriptures and because creation shouts out loud that everything that exists was created by the Lord, everybody, no one is without excuse. Listen to Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Listen now. This is important. Verse 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. How has God made himself plain to them? Here it is. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, and listen to this statement, so that men are without excuse. And here's what he's saying. He's saying that everything that has been created so points to a creator that anybody who says that there is not a creator, but it all happened by mere chance and accidents, then they are without excuse. Because the creation says loud and clear there is a creator. And the Bible tells us who he is. He's Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, notice what he goes on to say, verse 21. It really gets good. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And here's what he says. Now listen to me. What God is saying is this, is that it is obvious that in creation that everything was created by a creator. And that creator is Jesus Christ. And he says, though, that even though the world looks and sees that the world was created by a creator, they choose to suppress that knowledge. They choose not to acknowledge that truth. Why? Why do they want not to acknowledge that there was a creator behind creation? Why do they choose not to accept the sovereignty of Jesus Christ over creation? Why do they choose instead to believe that it all happened by an accident and by chance and by evolution? Why do they choose to worship things and men and us instead of worshiping the Creator? Why? Here's why. because they wanted to choose to live their life any way they wanted to without God telling them how to live their lives. And therefore, they suppressed the truth about the Creator so that they wouldn't have to feel guilty about living their life any way they wanted to live it and not live it the way God wanted them to live it. But creation speaks loud and clear. Jesus Christ is the Creator of the total sum. Listen, let me close with this. He not only created all material things, He also created all powers and authorities. Look at what Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And what are the invisible things? Here he says, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. And what? Who are the powers and authorities that he's referring to? He's referring to the angelic beings. That's what he's talking about. That's the invisible powers. The angelic beings were created by Jesus Christ. You see, there's a problem with so many false religions in America and in the world, and they teach that Jesus Christ was one of the angels himself. He was created an angel by God the Father, and that he and Lucifer were brothers, or they were spirit children. Together, they teach things of this nature. But you and I need to understand that the Scripture teaches us that Jesus Christ was not created because he was the creator of all things, and including the angelic beings. He was not one of them because he created them. You say, well, how do you know that's still true? Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 1. And listen to what Hebrews chapter 1 says. Hebrews 1 and Colossians 1 go together so much. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Now understand something. Number one, the angels were not invited to sit down at His right hand. Cannot be an angel and sit at the right hand. They serve Him. They're all around His throne, but they're not sitting at His right hand. That's reserved for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then it goes on to say, so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. What is His name? It is Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say in Philippians chapter 2? That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Christ the Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not an angelic being. He is Christ the Lord. And even the angels will bow down to Him and worship Him. Let me go on to say, verse 5, for to which of the angels did He ever say, you are My Son, today I become your Father? Or again, I will be His Father and He will be My Son. And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, let all angels worship Him. And speaking of the angels, He said He makes His angels winds, His servants flames of fire. But about the Son, He says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Hallelujah! Says it right there. But about the Son, He says, this is God speaking, but about the Son, He says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. You and I need to understand something. Jesus was not one of the created beings. He created all the beings that are. I'm glad to know today, brothers and sisters, this one thing, that my Lord and Savior is sovereign, He's supreme, and He's superior over all beings. How many of you believe in a personal devil? Put your hand up if you believe in a personal devil. Some of you don't believe in a personal devil, do you? I want everybody to put their hand up. Well, all of you, put your hand up there. How many of you have encountered the personal devil yourself? Yeah. Or his demons. As Flip Wilson used to say, what did he used to say? The devil made me do it. Well, you know, we can't give the Satan the excuse for the sin that I choose to allow him to tempt me with. But here's what I want you to understand. Satan is real. Now, just imagine for a moment today if Jesus Christ were just the brother of Lucifer, of Satan. Do you know what today I would do? I'd close this Bible. I'd fold this message up. I got it put in here. And I'd never enter this pulpit again. You know why? Because if Jesus is just a brother of Lucifer, I would never know if I would ever get the victory. Because if he's his brother, then they're on the same level. And if he's his actual brother, then there is the possibility that maybe he and all the forces of hell might be able to defeat him. But because my Savior is sovereign and He's supreme and He's superior, because my Savior created the total sum, I want you to understand that Satan and all the demons of hell, they have no power whatsoever to affect Jesus Christ. He reigns supreme. Hallelujah. And that means that whatever He's promised to you and me, He will be able to accomplish, because He alone is the creator of heaven and earth. What a Savior. Oh, what a Savior and what a Creator. You and I need to preach with all of our heart that Jesus and Jesus alone is the creator of heaven and earth. Because if He's not, and we're just an accident, we're just chance, or we're created by some being that's not so powerful, we're drifting along, hoping for the best, survival of the fittest, hoping for the best. But when you're a child of God, you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't have to just drift along, hope for the best. You got the best. And in Jesus, His promises will come true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we are reminded from the Word of God and from the truth of the evidence of creation itself that the heavens above and the earth below and all that is in each has come about exactly by the power and the person of Your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And He could do it because He's Your Son and He's sovereign. And His name is above the names of all beings, including the angels. The angels below and the angels above will all bow at the name of Jesus and worship Him. So, Father, today we face this day, we face a world that looks upside down. We face it with confidence because we know the One who made it can fix it, and not only can, but has promised He will. And because we know He is who He is, we know He'll fix it. Now, Father, in this room, there are lives that need fixing. There are lives in this room that are lost. And because of sin, they have not experienced the new creation that they need to have, because sin damaged Your image in their lives and in our lives. It needs to be repaired, and only Jesus, our Savior, can do that. He died on that cross for our sins, to defeat sin, death, hell, and the grave, and conquered by resurrecting from the dead, so that if we would repent and believe in Him, we would become a new creation by His power. So, Lord, draw that person here today that needs to surrender their life to Christ to do so this day, to put their hand in the hand of the One who alone created it all and who alone can change their lives for their good and Your glory. Have Your will in this invitation, and we'll give You the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. I stand right here for anybody that wants to come and talk to me about anything, pray about anything, discuss about being a part of this church, giving your life to Jesus, surrendering your life to serve Him in some way, or whatever else it may be. Or this altar is all open for anybody, just come and kneel down here and pray about it all. Whatever it may be, as we stand and as we sing, You come today.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 10. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Hymn number 10.
Amen. Kim's asked if she could share with you this morning, and she certainly can. Could you hand me that, please, sir, or one of them? There you go, Kim. Go ahead.
Last Sunday, we had a WMU Focus Sunday, and for those ladies, those single ladies of our church that weren't here, we took some of those to them, and I went and visited a couple of ladies, and one lady, Miss Degler, was in the nursing home, and I must have spent an hour with her. The joy that filled her heart and mine was just so, so great.
Amen.
And we got a wonderful crowd this morning, but there, look around, there's still people not here. People of our church that's not been coming, people that are unchurched, people who just fallen away. I just want to stress that, lay it upon your heart to go out and reach out to them.
Amen.
Call them, go visit them. And if you know of someone I could go visit, I've been trying to do that during my Sunday school hour when I don't have anybody there. Just share that person's name with me, and I will go out and visit them. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Give her a hand. Would you do that? Fred. Don't forget, Fred, going up, Fred. We're going to have our closing prayer. Don't forget about Wednesday night, 6 for our meal, 7 for all the Bible studies of each and every group. Tonight, we'll get together at 6 o'clock for anybody who'd like to come and join our very informal, enjoyable fellowship time of talking and discussing what we preach about and on Sunday morning. And then we do a lot of praying. We pray for a lot of folks. And so come and be a part of that at 6 o'clock. And so we want you to have a great day. I hope you enjoy watching the Daytona 500 and watch all the Fords up front today. You have a great time enjoying that. It gets underway. You know me. I'm a huge racing fanatic. I'm excited about today. But what excites me more than anything is that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. And because He is who He is, He's able to save and keep us saved to the uttermost because He's sovereign and supreme and superior. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. We'll have our closing prayer. You have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful day in Jesus Christ.
Father, we just thank You that You are the Creator. We thank You for everything that You've created for us and around us. Father, be with us now as we go our separate ways. Bring all of us back here on the next appointed time. Keep us safe and keep us in Your spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen.